Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. The NTSB has determined that the Metro North commuter train, which derailed in the Bronx Sunday, killing four and injuring more than 60 passengers, was traveling at 82 miles per hour into a curve that was zoned for 30 miles per hour. It is not clear yet whether the accident was caused by human error on the part of the engineer or mechanical failure. Some safety experts are arguing the accident could have been avoided with technology that the Metro North has delayed implementing. It's just the latest in a string of problems Metro North has faced this year, including a collision in Connecticut in May that injured more than 70 passengers. The news comes at a time when many Americans are making travel plans for the holidays. How does this developing story affect you? What are your fears about travel on public transportation or any other way? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. You heard me, 1-800-348-2551. And you can post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, WAMC.org/VoxPop, or you can just you can tweet, or you can come to us at VoxPop@WAMC.org, the old-fashioned way, the email way. Okay, so there are phones are ringing. There's one free phone. Four of them are in use. Let us go to Nancy in Schenectady. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I guess what I'm talking about really is private transportation.
Okay, that's fair. Go ahead.
I walk a lot. That's one of my main modes of transportation.
It's a very good idea, too, by the way. Everybody's talking about walking as a health benefit. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, here's a little glitch in that system. I was about to cross the street, and, of course, I pushed the walk button and waited till it said walk, and I stepped into the street. And that was the main street. A car came around the corner off of the side street and grazed my knees.
Oh, no.
That was a little bit too close. And so then, of course, what I became aware of is the fact that the cars on the side street get the green light at the same instant that the pedestrians who want to cross the main street get the walk light.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems to me that the light systems should be changed.
Yeah.
And in fact, I put in a petition. I got people signing it so that we can hopefully get that changed. Because if the light on the side street wouldn't give cars the go-ahead at the same time that the pedestrians get the walk.
Yeah, and you could be walking, and a car could hit you, and then you know what you'd be?
D-A-I-D,
dead right.
In fact, that happened to another pedestrian.
No, that's not funny. It's terrible.
The day before I got my close encounters.
Well, Nancy, no wonder so many people signed the petition. Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate your call.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. Nancy hung up. There's a free phone for you. Let's go to Howard in New Paltz. All right, Howard. One of the people on the train who died was apparently a New Paltz student.
Hello.
Hello, Howard. Are you there?
Hey, yeah, how are you?
Good.
Just a couple of things I'm trying to squeeze in as much as I can.
Okay.
But I remember speaking with the mayor of Kingston about 3-4 months ago.
What?
And I noticed, because I'm looking for an office space down there, and I got a little worried because I see the the railroad coming through with all kinds of chemical cars and, whatever they carry on there. So I called him for some other reason. He called me, and I got into that with him, and he said, it's not in my hands. It's a federal thing.
Yeah.
I think he's a great guy, but, he passed it on to the federal, so I don't know.
He may be right. He may be right. There are these laws. For example, I live in Great Barrington in Massachusetts, and, the train comes through, and it's required to blow its whistle at every one of the openings where you could cross over. And that makes for a lot of noise, and there's always somebody who wants to put a stop to it, but it doesn't happen because, those are the rules. And, mayors don't always make the rules.
I guess we need some real whistleblowers. Because,
that's a nice point and a nice comeback, Howard.
There's something else. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
So anyway, that's one thing. And the other thing is, I've been on that train many times going into the city.
Yeah, me too.
You see that these are old cars, they're old parts, and a lot of times they're old fat people driving them. Some of them...
Wait a second. Oh, you mean that the drivers of the trains, the engineers are old and obese.
And buses, by the way.
And
buses
obese.
The same thing.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's like fat cops in Manhattan.
Yeah, well, we can avoid the fat stuff. I mean, you know, go ahead. Go ahead, Howard.
All my family was heavy, so don't worry about it.
Are you heavy?
No, about 5'10", about 190.
Yeah, it's not so bad. Not
but
so good
worker.
Either. But
I'm
go ahead.
Worker. Anyway, so... I could feel every time this train goes around these curves that there is a problem with holding on to the track. I could sense it. You know, you could sense some things. You know, you just know.
Sure.
And it was bound to happen.
Okay, but Howard, you have to hurry up. Everybody's behind you. What's the point?
Okay.
What's the
point? So the thing is, like where I live here in New Paltz, there's a street that runs in the back of my house.
Okay.
And cars are zooming back and forth. I went to the village many times. I said, listen, there's stop signs about 800 feet away from where these houses are, but there's none in between. So the cars are flying up, and nobody sees where they're going. I almost got run over with my dog many times. And people just ignore it. You know, people have to just be alive and aware of what's around them all the time. Even though you can't get anything done, I just say that they have to really look. And see where they're going and what's around them and the possibilities. I'm basically a paranoid person, so I'm aware of these things.
Yeah,
know?
No. I agree with that. And paranoia doesn't mean that they're not out to get you. Hey, Howard.
Yeah, I know.
Howard,
I know.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Paul in Williamstown. And by the way, folks, the telephone number here is 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Alan, I'm a little worried about people jumping to conclusions about this train crash.
Yep.
If you listen really carefully to what they came out with after the when they made the announcement about the 82-mile-an-hour speed into the 30-mile-an-hour corner, it said, and for 5 seconds previous, the brake pressure had been zero. And just like your car, these things run on hydraulic lines, and I'm pretty sure that while it now may seem like a fantastically high number, 82 into a 30-mile-an-hour corner, my guess is that at certain points on the track, well, before that, 82 is an appropriate speed, and that the guy just didn't have brakes. I mean, there's no way you would get off the tracks unless you went hurtling into that.
Well, no, 82 on
jump out of nowhere.
No,
he
Paul,
knew it was there.
Paul.
And so I'm going to guess that it was just a failure.
Nah. I mean, they're talking to us now. They're telling us the guy was going 80 miles an hour on a 30-mile-an-hour rated curve.
No. You listen carefully, Alan. That's not what they said. They said into a 30-mile-an-hour turn. 82 could have been perfectly appropriate for the speed prior to that.
Well, I don't think so. But anyway,
think about
Paul,
every time you see the train go by, you see them, they're flying. I've seen that Amtrak go up and down the Hudson River, and the 82 seems like a nominal speed.
Not around
a
curve.
We're sitting here being fed a line by a sensationalist media that's going to turn out
by the NTSB. No, Paul, by the NTSB, by the National Transportation
Because they're picking up this story and presenting it as if excessive speed. Did you see the headlines in the various New York papers today?
Yeah, but that's why, well, first of all, they're not stupid on the New York Times. I'll tell you right now.
I'm talking about 82 miles an hour on the Post or something.
They're not fools. And when they feed you, when the NTSB comes out and tells you that that's what happened, then we heard this morning from Chuck Schumer, the senator who said, you know, he was concerned about the thought that maybe the brakes had failed, he said, because that train had made 6 or 7 or 8 stops before.
Well, I mean, that would not lead to failure?
No, but let me ask you a question. When you're a United States senator and a powerful one and one who doesn't take any garbage from anybody, don't you think he was basically telling us that maybe he made a telephone call?
Yeah, I think he tipped his hand. And I think if you really go back and listen to all these reports, and especially the NTSB people, when they stood up before the microphone, they're all hinting that we're going to find out it's going to be a mechanical failure. I'm a little worried about this rush to judgment about the speed being high.
About the mechanics.
It may turn out to be totally normal for the train.
Yeah, it may be, but I don't think so. But anyway, Paul, here's the point about Vox Pop. It's the voice of the people. You're a people. You had your say, and we thank you for it.
No, I'm just giving you a heads up. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, and we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear from Joe and Chris and Rita and Leah, all in about, 7 seconds.
Support for WAMC goes to Mashokan Center, presenting a winter holiday festival and feast with Elizabeth Mitchell, Jay and Molly, Larry Campbell, and Teresa Williams, Happy Trom, and more, Sunday, December 8th at 4 p.m., ashokancenter.org. Dr. Joseph Cohen, optometrist, eye examination, classic eyewear, contact lens fitting in historic Uptown Kingston, participating with MVP, Empire, Davis, VSP, Medicare, and other insurances, CohenOptometry.com. Sunflower and Natural Food Market, Woodstock, specializing in locally made, handcrafted, and organic gift selections, including natural bath and body lotions, salts, and potions, Facebook, Twitter, and SunflowerNatural.com. Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890, with 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont, CurtisLumber.com. And the Lake George Mirror, covering the news of Lake George since 1880 on newsstands throughout the Lake George Basin, LakeGeorgeMirror.com.
And we're back on the Vox Pop. You're a Vox and I'm a Pop. 1-800-348-2551. All the phones are ringing. Let's go to Joe in Middletown. Joe, you're on.
Yeah, you ask, what do we fear about using mass transit or public transportation?
Yeah.
And what I fear is the flip attitude you can witness among the people who operate this stuff. I used to commute to Manhattan every day with a bus. And the behavior and the driving methods of those buses were consistently, regularly, what we would today call aggressive driving. They wouldn't slow down for conditions, no matter how wet or icy it got. They would drive 5 feet from the car in front of them, and they would weave in and out of traffic like cowboys because they figured, well, I'm a professional driver. I can handle this. And there was a very telling comment in the Middletown Record about this train. They were interviewing an engineer who knew that line and knew that curve. And he said, well, yes, it's a 30-mile-an-hour curve, but engineers who know what they're doing can push that. He said words to that effect. I'm not quoting exactly. I'm paraphrasing. But his point was, well, we don't have to obey the rules because we're so good at this. We can drive faster. The point should be, it's 30 miles an hour. I don't care if you're that great, if you've got 40 years experience, go 30 miles an hour. And you witness that among truck drivers. You can see the way truck drivers, not all of them, and we get calls from truck drivers who will say, yeah, but our statistics show we're the best drivers. Maybe you are as a group, but all of us have experience being on the interstate and being threatened by trucks who come up behind you, drive 5 feet behind you, tailgate you, weave in and out, and it's just this pervasive flip attitude that they are invincible, and they're not.
And other cars, other drivers do it.
Other drivers, too, but you asked about public transportation.
Yeah.
I turned down a bus trip to Washington, D.C. last year because I said, you know what? It'd be nice to get on that bus, go down there and back for 3 days. But I said, I know what it's going to be. The driver's going to drive like a fool, and this is what you get.
Well, Joe, just to be fair.
Maybe I was wrong, but...
No, just to be fair, there are a lot of bus rides. And you have very few crashes, right?
I just said that they would say that as a group. They would point out their great statistics.
Well, okay.
Until you get one like that Chinese bus driver a few years ago going to the casino, did what he did. So that's what fears me, what I'm afraid about public transit.
Well, that was
in the car, I drive how I want, and I'm safe.
That was the question.
Yep.
But, of course, when you're driving how you want, as you just said, how about the people who are all around you who are not driving like you want them to?
Well, you're right. What can you do? You can't just stay home, but you can drive defensively, stay out of their way and watch them.
I do all the time.
Yep.
Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. Appreciate
it.
Thank you. Yep. Okay. Let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris, you're on.
Hi. I have a girlfriend who lived in Manhattan for about a year and a half, and every other weekend we'd alternate from Albany to New York. And I rode the Metro North from Poughkeepsie to Manhattan, I don't know how many times.
Hey, Chris, could you speak up a bit?
Oh, sorry. In general, in my experience, the Metro North was generally positive. The times it would take from station to station were pretty consistent.
Right.
I was able to GPS track it on my phone, and I assume different conductors on different dates and months and so on. The consistency was there, for me at least, on my trips. The thing that I was concerned about, though, is the Metro North, kind of like lots of public transportation, and I don't think there's an easy solution for this, and I'm not suggesting one. But I think one of the problems, as I hear the reporting about the Boston bombing and the defense attorneys getting access to Tsarnaev, there's literally no security on the Metro North. I mean, in Manhattan at like Grand Central, you see a couple cops occasionally, the military guys with the dog. I don't know if that's a bomb dog or a drug dog or whatever. But generally speaking, you can buy a ticket with cash, get on the train, and so on. So my concern, I always just kind of thought maybe there should be some basic step, showing a driver's license or something. I don't know. But it just kind of struck me that there are no security procedures. You have a lot of people in sealed metal containers all together, and I just thought that was a little bit odd. The trains are kind of ignored when it comes to security protocols. There was one trip where the train hit a person that was walking on the track, and that was obviously also probably very much avoidable. But generally speaking, during a year and a half between my girlfriend and I don't think we ever had a single specific issue with Metro North.
Yeah, I love Metro North. We use it a lot.
And as far as the cost goes, it's incredible. I mean, to go from Poughkeepsie to the city and back is $36 or something in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are unaware of just how cheap they could travel if they wanted to. And the last caller, who I know he has issues with buses and whatever other modes of transportation, in this case, he could take the train, you know, from Poughkeepsie down. And I can tell you personally, nothing ever happened to lead me to believe we were going, you know, excessively fast. And my GPS tracking stuff, based on the amount of time it took from point to point.
Yeah, you made that point, yeah. But God forbid, you were on that train yesterday.
No, I absolutely. And I'm not, you know, trying to mitigate away whatever happened there. But I'm just saying that I think rail is a safe form of travel.
No, it is.
And it's cost effective, you know, at least with the subsidies and everything else. And I think that people should definitely consider it well over driving. I mean, look at the statistics about driving and compare them to the rail travel, and I don't even think it's up for discussion as far as safety trackers.
No, you make a good point. Hey, Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's go to Rita in Pittsfield. Rita.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to just comment. I was kind of thinking the same thing on the lines of Joe, where I was just on a Metro North train on Saturday going to New York from Wasaic. And I've always loved it. I enjoy the trip. I really enjoy the ride. But the train on the way home was particularly old. And the conductors on that train were particularly flip, as Joe had said. We couldn't hear any of the announcements. They just kind of came through. They had a couple of trains where the doors weren't working.
Mm. Was it a through train, Rita? In other words, sometime when we come back, well, that's the train we take to Wasaic. And mm-hmm. when we come back, there's one train, I think, in the afternoon, maybe 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
That goes all the way through as opposed to having to change. So you get the new equipment until you get to Southeast, and then you get
right.
the old train. But this particular train, you get the old train right from Grand Central. Is that the one?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Gotcha. And what happened was there was actually a family on one of the cars, and you couldn't hear the announcement. They wanted to get off at maybe Southeast or something.
Yeah.
But that they had kept saying that people needed to get off that particular car because the doors weren't working.
Oh, boy.
But no one actually got up off their feet to go tell that family, and they ended up all the way in Wasaic, and they were from Florida. And when they got off, they were kind of stuck. And there was a conductor that kind of, you know, my sister was like, shouldn't somebody, you know, say something to them? And he was very flip and could have kind of giggled and just kind of didn't care. Yeah. And it was very strange. You know, I thought, just get up and let those people know that those doors aren't going to open down there. And so they kind of got stuck on the train. So, and in previous to that, trying to even get the schedule, I found that their website was kind of confusing, and it's been a while since I'd taken the train, so I didn't know if I could buy tickets. I found it a little difficult, and I just wanted to say that was a little frustrating because I would love to see more public transportation get us off the roads a little, save a little gasoline.
Well, I'd like it if they...
You know,
if,
all those things,
yeah.
But I just think, and now we have this accident, which seemed avoidable. So it just makes you a little frustrated.
Okay, well, I hope they extend that rail line all the way up
yeah,
at least to
great.
Hillsdale. And
yes.
That would be terrific, wouldn't it? Of course,
it would.
I will get 14 calls from people who don't want to use that trail for anything but walking.
Mm-hmm.
That's another whole program. Okay, Rita, thanks for the call. The one thing that gets me about that whole operation is when they tell you that you shouldn't be in the first three cars, or you have to be
right.
in the first three cars. Now, how do you know what the first three cars are? You don't know
exactly
where you are.
From the back or from the front, yeah. In which direction.
Rita, thanks again. Bye bye.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye bye.
Okay, we've got a Lee in Ulster. Lee in Ulster, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Hey. I want to make a comment, and then I'd like to ask you a question.
Anything.
You know, the comment is, having lived in Europe for years and those, you know, those magnificent
yeah.
train moves that they
the
have.
Bullet there. Trains it's, and all the rest, yeah.
Oh, but we're not even talking, we're talking basic technology on any, there is a basic technology to auto-slow, you know, runaway trains. They can't manage to retrofit it for the older units, so they won't touch it because they don't want, you know, I'm sure that there's a litigation issue about some trains with slow and stuff.
You mean here?
Right.
Yes, you're right.
So the problem is that the infrastructure is so old and parts of it are so much older than just old that they can't trust that they're going to have a driver on one train who doesn't worry about slow because the auto slow engages, and he's like, you know, doing his fingernails when the auto slow doesn't engage on an older unit.
Mm.
It makes me crazy.
Mm.
The thing that I say to you is, do you think that part of the problem now, because it always is a problem, is that these public transportation systems are sitting on their hands hoping the feds are going to come in with some money, which they keep talking about, but it never appears. So they don't want to engage in these upgrades until they know they're going to get support.
Well, you know, it's all hypothetical, and who knows? But the answer is... taxes. You know, if you're going to put federal money towards it, somebody's going to have to say, okay, that's money we'll use on our transportation system that we won't use on our defense system. So, and then
well, that would work for me, but there's probably
right,
other
and for me, and for me. But it will get you into the same fight that we see going on in the United States Congress right now. It could be 100 reasons, my answer is, Lee, and that could be one of them. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth in Montgomery, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I have a few issues with Metro North. I feel terrible about the accident. I usually take a lot of... I go in once or twice a week.
Mm.
Sometimes I go in about four times a month. You know what I mean?
Where do you
so
go
I'm always on the Beacon train.
On the Beacon train, yeah.
They really don't have any plans for contingency.
Like
you
what?
You know what I mean? Whenever there's a problem... they have no plans, and they're terrible about broadcasting changes. For example, on the weekend of July 27th, they shut down the Hudson Line to repair the stretch of track between Spite and Dival and Marble Hill because of the garbage fiasco.
Yeah.
That ruined those tracks. Nothing was said about it. There was like a little column, little thing, in the, like that page 200 in the back of the local paper. Nothing on the radio.
The paper had 200 pages in it?
What?
You said page 200. I'm sorry.
You know,
yeah.
It's next to the obituaries kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you would think that at Penn Station where I was coming in, there would have been an announcement. Those going to Grand Central, blah, blah, blah. This line isn't working. No signs anywhere. When I got to Grand Central... there was nothing green on the board.
You've made the point, Beth. Now,
the second thing is, they're not good at contingency planning. Mm. For example, they had the 100th anniversary of Grand Central, right? And they told you what time the trains were going to be there. They had all these old trains there. Now, we got there in way enough time, but guess what? They had so many crowds, the people were lined up around the block. But instead of opening the lines up, even though we were there within the time limit that had been advertised for months, they were extremely mean and nasty to us, and we had children with us and everything. We couldn't stand online, even though we were there before the original cutoff date.
Oh, boy.
They just have a problem communicating with people. And another thing I want to say, those cars are extremely old, and when I heard all the damage that was done to the people in those cars, where do we put our money? Where's all that money going to? We've had so many, since I've been going down to the city for the last 8 years, the rates have gone up and up and up, and what have they done with them? They certainly haven't put it into the cars on that line, that's for sure.
Hey, Beth, you're done. Thank you for calling.
Anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
You said it. Thanks, Beth. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. And Michael in Kingston is now joining us. Michael, join the conversation, as we say.
Hey, good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
Regarding the earlier caller who mentioned about the speed limit on that part of
the track immediately
preceding, every news report I saw said that the straightaway prior to the turn at Spite and Dival from the Riverdale station down, the speed limit there is 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So 82 is already in excess of that, and so I just wanted to I just wanted to point that out real quick, and I would love to see, and I think commuter mass transportation should be a higher national priority in this country, and you know, I just this incident, as tragic as it is exceedingly rare. That you're more likely, regardless of which car you pick to sit in, you're more likely to get struck by lightning than to even be injured in a railway accident.
Is that true?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh. Yeah, that, well, according to NBC News last night, because they
did a whole
story.
Well, then we got to believe it.
They did a whole story last night about people selecting cars and which is your best car to sit in, and at the end of it, that was the conclusion. They said, according to the actuarials here, to even be injured in a railroad accident, you have a better chance of being struck by lightning in a commuter railroad.
You're a good man, Michael. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You got it. Bye-bye. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mark in Salem, 1-800-348-2551. Mark in Salem, you're on.
Alan, I have four generations of my family that worked for the Delaware and Hudson Railway.
Mm.
My great-grandfather was a steam locomotive engineer. My grandfather was a brakeman conductor. My three uncles were brakemen and conductors, and my cousins worked for the railroad.
How about you?
My mother made me go to college, so I wouldn't work for the railroad.
Okay, fair enough.
The solution to the problem, I had the opportunity of riding an Amtrak locomotive one time, and there was just one man in the cab. For 150 years, there was always a fireman. Had there been a second man in the cab, he may have been able to catch the problem before it became a problem. In other words, the engineer was alone in the cab, may have been distracted. Who knows what his reason was. But the easiest answer was there was always a fireman. And they don't have firemen anymore.
What did they call that when we read our history books? Was that feather bedding that they considered, you know, people who were extra?
Firemen had specific tasks to do.
No. When you needed a fireman, but what about?
Well,
there's no coal now,
but the fireman was also responsible for reading the gauges. They had a separate set of gauges on the locomotive that would duplicate the engineer's gauges. He had a separate set of hand controls that if something happened to the engineers, in those days, of course, they didn't have retirement. Sometimes an engineer would have a heart attack or something. The fireman was perfectly capable. He was an engineer in training, basically, because they moved up from a fireman to the engineer's position after a certain length of time. They were capable of taking over in case the engineer made a mistake.
Okay, but what you're telling us, and I think, is to keep it short, is that you needed a second person in the
plane. You have a pilot
sure.
and a co-pilot.
Exactly.
And the co-pilot doesn't do anything except when the pilot's indisposed. The co-pilot doesn't have the plane can fly itself under automatic controls. Why not get rid
of
the co-pilot?
As long as I got you on the phone, let me ask you a question. One of the things that interested me the most was this was not a pulling locomotive. It was a pushing locomotive.
Very dangerous.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's because it's the old phenomenon of pushing a string. The heavy locomotive pulling is much more effective at following the track. And by pushing, you have the lightweight thing in the front, and there's not as much tonnage holding it down to the track. So
and you can't see it. you can't see what you're approaching, right?
Well, I mean, yes, that's true, but it's but there's a tendency for the cars, because they are lighter in weight than the locomotive, to more easily find a defect in the track and jump over the rail. It might have been a small looseness in a rail, and freight trains, when they push cars, they reduce their speed by half usually because of that phenomenon. And I was surprised myself to hear that this engine was pushing the cars, because generally speaking, that is not the safest way to travel. Because the lightweight cars just don't have the tracking ability of an engine. So when you're pulling it, you're pulling the string, so you keep the tautness between it. When you're pushing a string, and you know what that means.
Hey, Mark, we got to take a break, but I really loved your call. I mean, you really told us some stuff we didn't know, or at least I didn't know. Thank you, Mark.
A fireman would do the job.
Okay, Mark, thanks again.
Okay, yep, bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. We got a little break coming up, and then, as the old saying goes, we're rounding the curve, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Blue Rock Restaurant, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Chef Chris Ramirez creating new American cuisine and handcrafted desserts. Wine and beer from local to worldwide, live jazz Fridays, theBlueRockRestaurant.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. Bennington Museum, Festival of Trees, exhibition and celebration through December 30th. Trees and items from the collection combined into vignettes for children and adults. Closed Wednesdays, BenningtonMuseum.org. Pioneer Valley Chinese Immersion Charter School High School, Hadley, Massachusetts. Working to prepare students for the global economy, pvcics.org for information on 9th grade enrollment. And WAMC's Spotlight on Underwriters, this month featuring news about sport time, high impact prospecting, and Boston Lake Pottery. WAMC.org.
And thank you, Zach, for bringing us back to this reality known as the Vox Pop. All five phones are ringing. Wait until somebody hangs up and then get on. Okay, let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Anyway, very tragic. However, tragic events bring forth some necessary movement in terms of making this country work a little bit better. And there's much work to do, as we know. And railroads, trains, fixing the country's infrastructure, all of that stuff, perhaps will come from this thing.
You can bet there will be some changes. You can bet, Abigail, there will be some changes. You're exactly right.
We need, you know, it's a tragedy, but I happen to be on the train from Lynchburg, Virginia, to Penn Station, and everything was a little bit delayed, but everybody was lovely and wonderful. And we had to slow down passing Riverdale. And as a matter of fact, about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting down by the train tracks with an old friend right where the accident happened. So it was like, you know, my son just loved the trains, and now we're going to have more better, how do you like that for
That's
an
fine.
English teacher? More better modes of transportation.
Hey, Abigail, you make a very good point, and you always do. I thank
you
so much.
Well, thank you, Alan.
I thank so much for calling. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go to Anthony in Western Massachusetts. Anthony, you're on.
Hi. I was a brakeman on the railroad for a short time. I will not disclose the railroad, but I did see some safety operations when I worked down there, and you know, one of my big concerns for riding trains after seeing this, since you know, witnessing what I saw, you know, you don't know what the engineer is doing, and you know, I guess innocent until proven guilty, but you know, the question I was wondering was, you know, was the engineer distracted with a cell phone? You know, as you said, he was shoving the cars south. Was there a spotter? Was someone spotting to tell them how many cars they had and how many feet to the platform to the next stop? And, you know, I used to be a volunteer fireman, and I remember doing a railroad fire exercise where we put smoke in a rail car. And we had to go searching for victims. And as I was told, the windows on a rail car are ballistic three-level type glass. And what I'm wondering is, how did those people, and send my sympathies to those families,
sure,
but how did those people get ejected from those cars if those windows were supposed to be ballistic three?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Don't know.
Those are my questions. And
nobody, others might be. I think those are indeed the very questions that are going to have to be answered. Number one among them is the operator error thesis. If there was something that the operator was doing, was it contributory towards the accident? What else can I tell you? That's it, right?
Yeah, sorry. Those are the questions I had. So
thank you for your questions.
Maybe someone can answer them.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony. Okay.
All right, have a good day.
All right. 1-800-348-2551. And we'll go to Mike in Highland, New York. No, we won't, because Mike hung up, I think. Yeah, it looks like Mike hung up. Okay, so let's go to Roger in New Hamburg. Okay, Roger in New Hamburg, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm wondering about that New Hamburg stuff. It reminded me of what I have to bring home tonight.
We are the second stop on the Metro North line going south, Poughkeepsie, New Hamburg, Beacon, and then south.
Wow.
And I just wanted to correct a little misinformation. When the train is pushing, which it does, in half of the round trip, in one direction, whether it's north or south, the engine is pulling, and then in the other direction, it's pushing. It's very common. It happens all the time, every day. And when the engine is pushing, the engineer, often called the motorman, is in the front car. He operates the train from the front car.
Oh, is that right?
Absolutely. The engine is simply providing power for the braking system and for the speed.
Well, how do they do that?
Obviously.
How do they do that, Roger? In other words,
these are special cars that are manufactured by the Bombardier Corporation that makes a lot of the Metro North cars.
Mm-hmm.
And these cars are designed to be the lead car in trains that are being pushed. And the motorman or the engineer is operating the train from the very front of that car. So this engineer on that particular train had the front window. It's the best seat in the house if you want to enjoy the views.
Roger, is it conceivable, though, that one of the potential problems is the communication system between, the electronic system or whatever they're using that goes from the front car to the rear engine?
I would have no idea and wouldn't be able to comment on that. I just wanted to correct the misinformation that the engineer was in the back of the train and couldn't see. That's just not true. They're in the front car operating the train.
Well, so you have, and I really appreciate the call because I like more than getting it right. Thanks again.
Have a good afternoon.
Right. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, let's go to Doug in Schuylerville. All right, Doug in Schuylerville. I think this is Doug. Is that you, Doug?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. You have something to tell us?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Sadly, one of the deceased is a relative of mine, and I'm going to be going to a funeral on Friday in Cold Spring. He was on his way. His name is John Lovell. And he was on his way down. He works for the Today Show, and he's a sound tech who they were going to rehearse the lighting of the Christmas tree.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us more. Hello? Hello? I don't know what happened to Doug, but that's not good. But he doesn't seem to still be here. Let me try that again. Doug, are you there? Huh. Well, Doug is no longer with us on the air. But there may be, he may call back. But in any case, appreciate his call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. 2551. Okay, and let's go to, it's either Dane or Don in Beacon, New York. Okay, Dane or Don, what, who are you?
It's Dane from Beacon, V-A-N-E.
Okay, thanks, Dane.
What I was calling about was yesterday when I saw, or I'm sorry, Sunday when I saw the coverage, I turned on NBC, and
yeah,
it was just a media circus. I couldn't believe how many errors there were in reporting, like the one with where's the engineer and the train and so
right,
on.
Right, right, right.
Those things, you know, those were going on, and then today, even it's continuing where the guy says he was going three times the amount, you know, the curve, and you know, it's 82 miles an hour, nearly three times. It was all that kind of thing. And then the people who they were interviewing were saying nothing about what was there, but it was all the comments were, oh, it's just horrible. This is just such a terrible thing. Can you imagine? And that's not reporting. That's
okay, so Dane, if you were running NBC or anything else at the time, collecting the news, how would you have done it differently? How would you have done it?
Well, I wrote him several emails. I was so disappointed with, nobody was down near the tracks, first of all.
Oh, no, I think there were plenty of people down near the tracks. I saw the governor walking in the tracks. Yeah.
Yeah, the governor was actually a better reporter than the reporters. I mean, when he said he was walking the tracks and the NTSB people told him that the tracks were not damaged, that the train was on anyway. When it went off that track, it ran into another one and tore it up.
Yeah.
And the rails sitting next to the track were those spare ones that are all up and down the line that you can see. Things like that.
But you have to be careful, Dane. Not that I'm, you know, innocent here. But you have to be careful of saying nobody was down by the tracks, because there were plenty of reporters down by the tracks. I can tell you that right now. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure there were. But the thing that was disappointing was that the reporting was just so repetitive and so, there was no information.
But I'm asking you a question. If you were running a news gathering agency, which is dependent on how many people are listening to it, what would you do? I mean, you might say, okay, Alan, get it better. Get it right, for goodness sakes. But would you...
But what's right?
Yeah, but would you rather... But would you rather, you know, people went to another station to hear them doing it over and over and over again? I'll tell you how I always feel about tragedies. I get it. I hear it. I feel terrible. And I turn it off because I just can't wallow in it. It's just awful for me.
Exactly.
So if there's a tsunami or something, I say, okay, I got that. I understand that. Terrible. Awful. But I hear what you're saying, and they just don't do it that way.
But the reporting in general on television, it seems so, it depends on the good looks and the big smile and long hair and the high heels and all that today.
Sure.
And yet, I mean, there are good reporters who dress like that. But the thing that's disappointing in this case was that it didn't seem like that they were actually getting objective information. They were just going on what they had heard and what it looked like, instead of the helicopter pilot or the helicopter reporter even was, they didn't go in close because they were afraid they were going to show bodies next to the train.
And you know what? When you don't have enough information, it's very hard to get it right. And that's what happens in some of these cases.
So don't report about it and just don't give opinions. Find out.
Believe me, they're trying to... They're trying to find out. Hey, Dane, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Dan. Is that the same Dan who we had on before? Hello, Dan.
No.
Okay, go, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to comment. I didn't hear quite a few people talking about the European train system kind of stuff.
Sure.
I've traveled quite extensively through Europe, through most of the countries, even into Eastern Europe and those kind of things. And I'm not quite sure that a European-style train system would work in this country. For starters, at the end of World War II, we tore up most of the local train lines in this country. They left them. So there's still train lines in between small villages and stuff like that that just simply don't exist in this country. And most of the land is now privately owned, or it's been turned into greenways or stuff like that. That was the first thing that would have to be fixed. The second problem is that in Europe, especially like in Eastern Europe and all that, a lot of the villages and small towns, the populations are highly clustered into little villages. Where here we have the suburban sprawl, everything is spread out quite a way. So when people get off on their train in Europe, they tend not to be far from home. But here, when you get off on a train, on your local train, how are you going to get home? You know, you could be miles and miles and miles from
home.
Well,
can we, Dan, all you're saying makes great sense. But can you also see that if there are choices to be made, so that we now know that railroads are coming back, that people want them, that they're economical, that you get people off the roads and all the rest of it. And you gave us an example of a greenway. All right, now you have to choose between the greenway and the railroad. Sometimes we put greenways on those railroad tracks, right? So now...
Right, but that's what we did in our village. A lot of places do that, in fact, yeah.
Sure, and on the way up to Hillsdale, I live in Great Barrington, you know, and you make a right turn on Route 23, and we have to drive for an hour to get to a train. So then the question is, in a democracy, would people rather have a train that goes from Hillsdale or a train that goes, half an hour away? These are the questions people have to answer. You would say yes to that, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, I'm not... Yeah. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not opposed. I actually enjoy the European way of train travel and stuff. I'm just saying that the tremendous cost of putting all these local lines and stuff back into... There's local lines to even the smallest villages and stuff would be absolutely tremendous. I think it could be done here if you had, big parking lots at every station where people could just commute, say, 5-10 miles to a train station, park their car, take the train line into Albany, work for the day, and then come home. Although I think that Americans as a whole have adapted more to the car culture.
Oh, well, no question. Yes,
right.
A lot goes on in those cars. Hey, Dan, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tom on the thruway. Tom, you got to make it fast. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. I enjoy all your shows, and I just want to say I'm just amazed that there's no backup safety items, like slowing this train down, and that these guys could maybe speed every day, and there's no accountability for driving faster, maybe even 75.
How do we really know that? I mean,
There has to be recorders for these things.
I know what you're saying. I'm just simply saying, you say there's no backup, there's no fail-safe system. I don't know that. I think we're going to hear all about that when the NTSB reports.
Yes, sir. I understand. I'm just amazed that there's not anything to put these brakes on at a, I know
yeah,
the
yeah,
technology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. And by the way...
For safe drivers, by the way. I know you made the point to that guy. There are good drivers, and there's a lot of bad drivers.
Yeah, of this, there is no question. Scares the hell out of me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate
thank
it. Yep. Okay, let's see. Really fast, and I mean really fast. Megan, really fast. It's got to be one sentence. Go ahead. Megan?
Hi, this is Megan.
Okay, it's got to be one sentence, Megan. We're running out of time here. Go ahead.
The channel... 10 and 13 did local coverage of people having to make alternative plans.
Yep.
And to a person, they were commiserating with the people who'd been affected by the tragedy rather than by their own personal inconvenience.
Sure.
And that was an example of man's humanity to man.
Good, Megan. Thank you.
And I was very happy to see it.
And thank you so much for the call. Appreciate
great
it.
Great show.
Yeah,
thank
thanks
you.
Thanks again. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm sorry we're going to leave Stephanie on the air. On the board here from Danbury, but Stephanie next time. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, with Body Head featuring Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth in Concert, Saturday, December 14th, massmocha.org. The Beechwood Group of Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, serving not-for-profits and individual investors, Mary McDonald, Financial Advisor, and Joseph Steininger, a CFP Financial Advisor, thebeechwoodgroup.com, and B'nai Shalom Reform Congregation, illuminating the 8 nights of Hanukkah with the true story of Hanukkah in 3 theories. This Thursday at Professor Jarvis Colony, 518-482-5283. And Lucky Chocolates, Saugerties, New York, organic and fair trade truffles and treats, seasonal chocolates, luckychocolates.com. And thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach, also incomparable. Our web assistant is Tom Jobe, also incomparable. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall, particularly incomparable. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.